John the Revelator, seer of Patmos. Let us bow our heads in a word of prayer. Gracious Father, I pray now, give us insights into the Word. Help me, I pray, to make the Bible clear to every mind. The little children here might catch a glimpse of Jesus, and the older people might get to love Him more. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen. I was first going to call the title of the sermon, How to Grow Old Gracefully. And maybe that would be a better title. The stars were shining brightly in the unclouded canopy of the heavens. A great wooden ship glided into a landlocked harbor. The year was 94 AD. There was a shout that was carried on the damp night air as the sailors began to move across the ship, getting ready to disembark its cargo. The rattling of the great iron chain as the anchor dropped into the Aegean Sea and caught the bottom and brought the ship to a standstill. It was a cargo of prisoners, exiles, incorrigibles, murderers, thieves thrown into the hold, and one preacher, an old man, an apostle of Jesus Christ. He was near 100 years old or 101 years old when he came to Patmos, that rock sticking out of the Aegean Sea. They had manacled his hands, but they could not manacle his heart. They imprisoned his body, but they could not imprison his soul. They shackled his feet, but they could not shackle his mind. His thoughts were long that night as he stood upon the deck of that ship looking out at Patmos. He saw the past, not with eyes, but with a mind. He saw it all, John the Apostle, there on that deck of that ship. There was first the memory, the past. There was second the miracle, and there was third the miraculous, the vision. Three stages in his life that came into focus. He had memories of the past. There's one thing that God has given to every human being, and that is memory. And no matter how old we get, we still remember the past. I used to love to visit my wife's grandfather and grandmother. Godly people, wonderful people. And even in 90, when they hit 90, 91, 92, they still would communicate. And I would sit for the hours listening to Pip telling me about the mine. He worked in an iron ore mine up in New York State. He would tell me all about his childhood and about going to work in the mine at 14 years old. And they had to build a little platform for him so he could stand on it to work. And his eyes would glisten even at the age of 90 years old. His eyes would glisten as he told about the memories of the past. And the more I think about that, the more I think about this Apostle John, because there he was, 101 years old, on the deck of a ship, going into imprisonment, exile on Patmos, and yet his mind is clear as he looks back into his youth and he remembers the days of toil and the days of trouble. He saw in his mind's eye and memory the little village where he had been brought up and born and brought up. He remembered the sparkling turquoise blue waters of Galilee, and he could see it as sparkling gems in his mind, because you cannot destroy that gift, even by imprisonment. He saw days of sun and days of fishes. He could almost smell the invigorating air of that village, that fishing village. And he remembered the days of fight and frolic, the days of teenage years of youth and frivolity. A smile played at the corners of his mouth, that old man, 101 years old, as he thought about his youth. John, son of thunder, ready for a fight. John, son of thunder, ready to drink with the boys. Crude, boisterous, likable fishermen. Strange the men called by the Master Jesus Christ. John saw his pre-converted life. He saw all that he was before he was. He saw a life with no direction. Unworthy, a worldling, discontented, intolerant, hot-tempered, ambitious young radical. Such was the portrait of the young John, and all John saw it. But then his memory came into focus of the calling. He remembered the preaching of John the Baptist and how his heart was stirred by the fire of that preacher. He remembered the words of Jesus when they first fell upon his ears. And he remembered his calling and his first love and his conversion. And he saw it all, John, there on the ship as he looked out over Patmos. The teachings of Jesus flooded his soul. The preaching of Jesus flooded his soul. He remembered that moment. He remembered that time. That circumstances. He would never forget the hour when Jesus was pointed out as the Lamb of God. And even the Bible says it was 10th hour. And John, old man, remembers the calling and he remembers the conversion. He remembered leaving his net. He remembered the past. Later on, Jesus called John, and he saw it all. There on the ship, on the deck of that ship, he saw the Master, who with love threw his arms around an adulterous woman to love her back to purity and to grace. He remembered it. John, the old man. How to grow old gracefully. You must remember your past. He remembered how Jesus had come to blind Bartimaeus, and he had touched his eyes, and Bartimaeus opened them and saw the face of Jesus, and he remembered the joy and the sparkle in those eyes. He would never forget it, even at 101 years old. How to grow old gracefully. He had remembered it. He saw it all, the compassion of Jesus as he came to the woman at the well there in Samaria, and how he led her to the true God. And to true love, and to true faith. He saw it all. He saw the tears of the Master as he cried, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest prophets, stonest them that I sent thee. How oft I would have gathered thee as a hen gathered chicks, ye would not. He remembered the tears of Jesus. And he remembered the cross, where our Lord hung in blood and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they... He saw it all. The empty tomb where the seal, Roman seal, was broken and the Roman Empire crumbled under the power of the crucified Christ. He saw it all. He saw the ascension into glory and the promise that was heard in the heavens. I, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. He saw it all. John. On the wooden deck of a ship, looking over the rock Patmos. The calling, the conversion. Henry Drummond, the great preacher, preached a sermon called The Greatest Thing in the World. And he said this, and I think it epitomizes the story of this man, John, and his 3.5 years walk with Jesus Christ. If you put a piece of iron, Henry Drummond said, in the presence of electrified body, that the piece of iron for a time becomes electrified. In the presence of a permanent magnet, it is changed into a temporary magnet. And as long as you leave the two together, they will share this characteristic. So also, if you put a person in the presence of Christ, he will take on the characteristics, the likeness of Christ, and reproduce the qualities of character which by himself he could never possibly cultivate. By beholding, we become changed. 3.5 years, John, in the presence of Jesus. 60-some years after the death of Jesus, he heard the words of love, and he learned to love. He heard the words of forgiveness and he too became forgiving. He had heard all the kindness from Jesus and he saw it and was touched by that kindness. And it was transformed into him and he transformed it to others and passed it on. And it became the love that was so manifest in the early church. No man can come into the presence of Jesus and remain the same? John, 101 years old, transformed by the grace of God. A cultivation of mind of John was a gift of grace. John remembered it all. He is an old man, but not too old to remember his youth and his calling. Lest we forget, God says again and again in Scripture, and how to grow old gracefully. Remember. Don't forget how far the Lord has led you. How far the Lord has led you. Memories of youth faded that night, and he remembered then the miracle of the moment. How to grow old gracefully. One, remember your past, but secondly, focus on the present. It was Domitian who put him there. Domitian was the 12th Caesar. And Domitian was angry with Christians, as most people get angry at Christianity because of its loving, caring attitude towards the masses. And he was angry at Christians, and he decided the only way to destroy Christianity is to destroy the last voice of the apostle, and he would kill, destroy John. Unmerciful emperor. And so what did he do? He brought him to trial. And he found an excuse to put him to death. My sentence for the heretic, said Domitian, is boil him in oil. He used his tongue to preach heresy against Caesar. Let us boil his tongue like a pig. So said Domitian. Laughter. Cruel, unmerciful laughter. And they prepared their cauldron, and they boiled their oil, and they watched through red eyes of sadism the boiling of the oil, and they threw John in the midst of the boiling cauldron, and he didn't burn. He had burned with the oil of the Holy Ghost for so long, they could not boil him in their oil. They couldn't kill him. And he remembered the present. He remembered present. Consumed with the life of the oil of the Holy Ghost, his life could not be consumed by their oil. The hot oil of hatred in his death, the oil could not harm him, the oil could not hurt him, the oil could not destroy him. Doesn't that say something to us today in this generation? Like the three Hebrew worthies cast into the fiery furnace, made seven times hotter, and yet it could not singe them. How to grow old gracefully? Remember the protection of God in the past, but be aware of the presence and protection of God in the present. If you only live in the past, brothers and sisters, in your spiritual life, then you will lose out in your present spiritual life. Remember it, but do not spend all your time thinking about it. Move into the present. If God has led you in the past, God surely is leading you now. Amen. If God was able to protect you then, he is able to protect you now. The greatest sermon was the protection and power of God for that man, that prophet, that apostle John. He worried and cared for John and protected John. There are memories of the past and there are miracles in the present. Never forget the miracles of the present. But there is also a vision for the future. Past, present, and future. Three dimensions of a life. John abandoned on the solid rock called Patmos, tethered with the leash of death, and yet this spot became a grandstand from which the poet-prophet viewed the whole panorama of human history. A prison can become a prison, or it can become a grandstand. For him it became a grandstand. His eyes grew young with eternity. His eyes grew young as he saw the future of the Church of Jesus Christ, and as he saw the future breaking upon the panorama of human history, as he saw nations rise and fall, as he saw the crumbling and controversy and struggle going on, and he knew at the end all would be triumphant. God would come in glory. It brought young eyes to an old man. I like old men and old women with young eyes. The great problem, there are too many young people with old eyes. But an old man with young eyes, he sees. You can't keep those eyes darkened. He sees and hears the trumpet voice message. He is manacled, his feet in irons, but his soul nevertheless is responsive to the sweet spirit. As the whirlpool of history was opened to him, he read the dark secrets, seeing and hearing things never seen or heard before. The waves that crashed like thunder upon the shore of Patmos spoke of a power far greater than the mailed legions of Rome. Then under the prophetic impulses, he dipped his pen in inspiration and he wrote the deathless message called Apocalypse. 101 years old, he was not true with God, and God was not true with him. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter how old we are. It matters how young our eyes are. Strange seas this old man sees. He sees dreadful beasts coming up out of the sea. Flaming signs in the heavens, the earth quaking. Glorious walled temples and glorious walls. Heavenly music bursts upon his soul. He saw it, the church through the centuries, the seven churches. He sees Ephesus and persecution. He sees what those early Christians would have to go through for their faith. I read about a young girl who was 12 years old and her mother was thrown in the Colosseum. And she was there in the Colosseum to be torn apart by lions. The mother. And the little girl was sitting in the grandstands and she said, "I will be silent and no one will know. Silent and no one will know." I was there in the Colosseum a few months ago. And I stood there aside from the tourists and the crowds. I got back as far as I could in the corners and the recesses of the Colosseum. And I tried to hear the cries. I tried to hear the prayers. I tried to hear the hymns. And I tried to feel and sense what those early Christians went through because of their love for Christ. And this little girl was sitting there and the lions were let loose. And you can see the Colosseum. You can see where those lions ran up and down. And the mother was there with her arms outstretched, singing. And the little girl saw her mother and saw her arms outstretched and her voice singing. And she jumped up and she said, "I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian." They took her down. And she stood beside her mother, and her mother threw her arms around her, and the lions pounced upon them. But they are of the lionesses of the tribe of Judah. He saw Pentecost, it loomed in his mind. The church work in Jerusalem loomed in his mind. But he saw the seven churches. He saw Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamos and Thyatira and Sardis and Philadelphia and Laodicea. You know, many of us have the mistaken idea that it's the characteristics of Laodicea, the church at Laodicea, that goes through into heaven. That's not true at all. You see, it's the characteristics of Philadelphia that brings the remnant of Laodicea into the kingdom of God. Brotherly love is the characteristic of Philadelphia. And if we do not have brotherly love, we can go through the church of Laodicea with all of its truths and still be the lukewarm who will be spewed out like vomit, he says in the original. But it is the age of judgment, and John sees it. He saw Christ standing in the midst of the seven churches and holding out hope. He saw the world on the verge of change and catastrophe, holding out hope. John caught a vision of Patmos and the church and the struggle between good and evil. He saw all the apostasies of all time. An old man, how to grow old gracefully. See with young eyes. Listen to me, young people and older people. What John saw in vision, we are about to see in reality. But I fear some of us have too old eyes to really see. John, there, as he stepped upon the rock called Patmos, just as the morning sun was breaking over the horizon, as he stepped upon that rock, he felt firm upon the rock called Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And he saw, above the glint of the spears of the Romans, he saw above the desolate rock, he saw above the prison bar, he saw Jesus Christ, King of glory, coming as a bride adorned for her husband. There's nothing more beautiful than a bride. I've never seen an ugly bride. I've seen a lot of ugly husbands, but never an ugly bride. And standing in this beautiful church at a wedding and seeing them come down the aisle and seeing them so beautiful and so nice and everything just right. And it looks like everything's going right while the poor bride knows it's just total catastrophe around her. And yet there it is. Old man seeing a young bride. How to grow old gracefully. You need to see with young eyes the future. He saw the Lord descending from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. He saw the literal, visible, audible return of Christ. He saw the church through the ages. He saw Jerusalem and he saw New Jerusalem. We need to see Tacoma Park, but we need to see New Jerusalem. This is old Jerusalem is passing away. In fact, they're even moving away with the passing. But we need to see not the old, but the new. Three things the Lord revealed to the old man. Will you listen carefully? There are three things he revealed to him. He revealed the church. Now let me say, I have great confidence in the Church of Jesus Christ today. I'm thankful to be a Seventh-day Adventist preacher today. I believe in the church. And I believe God has a lot more to do with the church. And John saw it. You older people, you want to feel young and you want to grow old gracefully. Look better at the church. And you younger people, you want to have young eyes forever. Look gracefully at the church. As defective and deformed as it may be, it is still the apple of God's eye, the church. Upon this church I will build. He says, upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. John saw the church persecuted, but the church triumphant. John saw, secondly, the controversy. My brother and sister, if you do not see what's happening in the world when you turn on your television set, if you do not see when you open your newspaper, I feel for you. But the controversy is going on, brothers and sisters. It's a struggle right now. Can't you feel it in your life? Don't you? Turning us against each other. Turning the world, nations against each other. The turmoil and the strife. And John, the old man, sees it all. But he sees the coming of Jesus. And what's the message of John for you and for me? It's this. We who are tethered with tension. We who are shackled by sin. We who are imprisoned by habit. And exiled in ourselves. And what is that message? Memories washed in the blood will bring comfort. He can set you free. And you in the prison of this world can still be free. Free at last, I'm free at last. Jesus Christ has died to make me free. And the old man sees it. And Jesus says to him, I'm going to let you rest, John. But the next thing you will see, how to grow old gracefully. Remember the past. Think of the present. And look with young eyes to the future. I am with you always, even unto the end of this world. Father, I thank you for John, for the apocalypse, for the grace of God. Free at last. Yes, Lord, we are free to see, to know, and to believe. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.